law would change the way frac sand mines are regulated in Wisconsin. The bill from Republicans, we have Representative Bawig and Senator Tom Tiffany, specify that local governments could regulate sand mines by zoning, but not by any other means. The Center for Investigative Journalism has been covering frac sand mining in the state. Reporters Tegan Wendland and Allison Durr are in studio with us now. And Tegan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And Allison, good to have you as well.
Thanks.
So, Tegan, let's start with you. How big an industry is frac sand mining in Wisconsin?
It's pretty huge. We're one of, Allison, are we the biggest producer in the country?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
So it's a huge industry here in the state, and it's growing quickly. In the past, 7 or 8 years, we've seen it grow exponentially from like five back in 2005, five mines that is, to about 115 licensed processing and mining plants today. So it's grown a lot, and I think it's going to continue growing. So this bill is kind of a big deal.
Now, introduce us to the bill. What does it contain? And tell us a little bit about the motivation behind it, if you would.
So right now, it's just a draft. I received an email from Schilling's office, actually, on Wednesday, alerting us to this draft bill. And they're still currently looking for co-sponsors. But the bill would restrict municipalities' authority over roads and traffic and their ability to regulate industry use of explosives, as well as preventing local municipalities from enforcing or regulating air or water quality relating to non-metallic mines broadly. It also restricts DNR reclamation abilities and their ability to change any existing DNR standards.
So to give us a sense of what this would change, tell us, if you would, how this is being handled right now, individually, the regulation of frac sand mining.
I think Allison can speak more to that as far as the sort of patchwork of local, state, and federal regulations.
Right. So at the federal level, there's worker safety regulations. And then you kind of, when you get down to the state level, the state regulates certain things like air quality, stormwater. But then at the county level, there's really this patchwork. So there could be, town zoning, county zoning, ordinances that have been put in place in specific counties or even in townships and in some cases in villages and cities. So there's a wide variety of regulations
in place. And some municipalities, you know, they want to have the ability to regulate water quality, traffic, road damage. There's even a moratorium in place in Trempealeau County to prevent any frac sand mining taking place there until they're able to do a health impact assessment to find out how this mine could potentially impact the community there.
Now, the effort you described, the patchwork approach at regulating this, is that typical of the way the rest of the country is handling it?
I honestly don't know. I can't speak to that.
I mean, nowhere else is the industry as big as it is here. So I don't know that we can compare it to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that there are other industries that handle regulations in this manner.
Well, you talked to GOP Representative Joan Bawig, and you've given us a clip of her talking about this. Tell us a little bit about that conversation you had and what she said, and then we'll play some of the clip.
So I spoke to her yesterday about co-sponsoring this bill, and she really emphasized the fact that she, you know, was hoping that it might have some impact on public opinion of frac sand mining. She emphasized that she felt there was some resistance to mining here in the state and that some of that was unwarranted. She said that much of that resistance was connected to public perception of the fracking industry overall and that there is no fracking going on indeed in the state. So in her opinion, she said there's no reason to oppose it on those principles.
Okay, let's listen.
One of the reasons I'm involved in this is because my local area in the 41st Assembly District has many industrial sand mines and has had them for many, many years. And we've seen a benefit to the community in good jobs, other spin-off work, like the trucking industry and those kinds of things. So I think my role in this is to help folks understand that an industrial sand mine is a benefit to the local area and try to help folks work through that whole process. So the benefits are jobs.
Now, this is a pretty brand new effort, but this has also been an incredibly hot button issue here in the state of Wisconsin. What is the early reaction so far?
It's varied. There are numerous environmental groups like the Sierra Club and the Madison Mining Alternatives Group who have already expressed some opposition to this bill. And I know that the Mining Alternatives Group here in Madison is planning a protest for next Thursday when this Senate hearing will look at this proposed bill. But both the sponsors and supporters have said repeatedly that this is a good thing for the state, that this, you know, we need some sort of overarching regulations in place to fix this issue of this sort of patchwork process that we have currently in order to be more friendly to industry overall.
Well, last year, the state Supreme Court decided that towns could regulate sand mines using, I guess, what's called ordinary police powers rather than through zoning ordinances. So would you consider this bill a direct challenge to that decision?
I mean, right in the bill's introduction, that is directly addressed. So you're talking about the Cooks Valley ruling, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling last year, where Cooks Valley decided that they wanted to have the ability to decide whether or not frac sand mines could come to their community, and they wanted to have public hearings to discuss how that would look. And the Supreme Court ruled in their favor, and right in the introduction to this bill, it is described as a reaction to that ruling.
And we'll be taking calls in a bit as we talk about this proposed legislation that would change the way frac sand mining is regulated here in Wisconsin. We're talking with reporters Tegan Wendland and Allison Durr with the Center for Investigative Journalism about this right now. And we want to know what you think. What would you think about changing the approach and putting it under the umbrella of the state rather than under the jurisdiction of individual communities and counties? What would this change? And are you worried that it would be communities losing a voice, or would it just help make sense if it's been a very hot-button issue here in Wisconsin? You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Now it's our fall membership drive. It's the last hour of Central Time during this pledge drive, your last chance to pledge during this show in this drive. I'm Rob Ferret, here with Jennifer Dargan. You know, listeners really provide the single largest source of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio. This is your chance to support the programs you count on. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 28 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. This hour, we have a goal of 40 pledges. And these hourly goals are really important to help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network is with you all day long, every day of the week. Whether you ride to work with us, run errands with us, cook dinner with us, you get interesting discussions whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donation. Wisconsin Public Radio would not be what it is without your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. And if you're listening right now, it's a good bet that you listen every day. During our fall membership drive, we're asking you to make a difference to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your gift of whatever amount you choose, maybe $5 a month, makes a difference in what you hear and look forward to every day. That's because we rely on listener support for the single largest piece of our budget. Make that difference right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One thing we know about WPR listeners is that they love to read. You've probably gotten a lot of book recommendations from your WPR listening, whether it's a book on Chapter a Day, interview on Central Time, or something that you heard on a news program that made you want to go out and learn more on that topic.
Your WPR listening leads to a never-ending reading list. Your donation right now makes that kind of endless enjoyment and discovery possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to keep those book recommendations coming.
Shopping at your local farmers market, running a 5K for charity, the things that help you are all the more rewarding when they also help a whole community, like being a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Set up an ongoing monthly contribution and your gift will inform and entertain more than 200,000 people who listen every day.
Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Jennifer Dargan. We are asking for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe you can give $5 a month, maybe $10 a month, maybe $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You do it. It takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Or perhaps a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value.
Yeah. I mean, think of all the hours of programming. The Joy Cardine Show in the morning, maybe you wake up with Joy. Larry Mueller, Kathleen Dunn, Central Time, and a lot of national programs, too. A dollar a day? Not bad. It comes out to about $30 a month. You can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your credit card. Make your pledge now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear the show. Those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when I've told people over the years I work at Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm like, oh, that's cool, but I bet you really hate those pledge drives. No, I love pledge drives. I really do. More so probably than anybody else here. Actually, I go nuts for them. And the reason why is, think about this. I'm doing this job. We're doing this job here. And then a couple times a year, thousands of people get together to say, not just, hey, we like what you're doing, but we like what you're doing so much that we are willing, voluntarily, of our own free will, to help pay for it. Wow. That's just such a boost. It's such an amazing thing. I love this. I wish we could do these all the time. Or maybe not that much, but you get the idea. It's a really important part of our life here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It keeps the great programs coming back to you. Make your pledge. Make me happy, but more importantly, make yourself happy with your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we've even had a couple of listeners come up to us and say, you know, I really like pledge drives too. I really like hearing Rob Ferret freak out a little bit.
Really?
They're probably sustainers, those people, yeah. And we really appreciate our sustainers, members who give WPR such reliable monthly support. If you are a sustainer, if you love hearing Rob freak out, thank you so much. Make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're looking for an amount to give, how about $15 a month? And if you pledge that much, you can ask for the brand new WPR travel mug. Your pledge of $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The important part is you make a contribution. You join the team of members at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or you can call 888-202-2552 and thank you.
This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret, who I think has gone to splash some cool water on his face. And right now, we're continuing our conversation with two folks from the Center for Investigative Journalism, reporters Tegan Wendland and Allison Durr, about the proposed frac sand mining bill to restrict the ability of local communities to regulate the industry. It would move to the state to regulate as an umbrella. And we'd like to hear your opinion on this issue right now. We're taking your calls now. What do you think? Will the state law help sort out the confusion for the industry, or are you concerned that it interferes with local control? You can call us with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. And let's take a phone call now. We have Virginia on the line from Janesville. Hi, Virginia.
Hi. I think it comes down to whether you live on the land or whether you live far away and want to exploit it. Because the people who live there, they care about their health, their children's health, the animals' health, and they need to regulate it. And we're losing that right all over the place. They're building factory farms when the people don't want them. Up north, they're building a mine the people don't want. It's almost as if we we the people do not count anymore, and the only thing that counts is the very wealthy who want to take everything we have.
All right, Virginia, thank you so much for your thoughts there. Antigone, is that typical of what people are saying?
I don't think I could speak to whether or not that is typical, but I know in the small towns that we visited north of Eau Claire, we heard a variety of experiences that local folks had had as a result of this mining industry. Some folks complained about noise or their concerns over whether or not this could be potentially impacting public health in the future. That's kind of unknown at this point. But at the same time, there are many, many local towns and municipalities who have not exerted police powers or zoning ordinances to restrict this mining activity. So I don't know that that's necessarily the case in every region where this mining is taking place.
Now, Virginia is obviously someone who has concerns. Kathy Vinaut would be someone in her camp, and we have a clip. You spoke to her about this as well.
That's right.
What was that conversation like?
So I chatted with State Senator Kathleen Vinaut yesterday about her reaction to this bill, and she was pretty outraged and a little bit blindsided. She said that she didn't really see it coming, and that she was left out of discussions about it. And there are mines in her region, so she's pretty concerned about it. And she said that it's a threat to democracy, that this proposal is a threat to democracy, because it's important for local municipalities to have the power to decide what fits the unique needs of their communities.
Okay, let's hear what she had to say.
The local government is of the people, and the best type of government is a government that happens locally. It happens. So somebody that's making a decision on what happens in your neighborhood is somebody that you run into at the grocery store. This is the best part of democracy, a democracy that happens locally. When the state, and in this case, I believe out-of-state companies are controlling what happens at the state, takes away the ability of local people to be able to decide what happens in their neighborhood. This completely changes Wisconsin. This changes our neighborhoods. It changes the place that we live. And this is not what people in Western Wisconsin want.
Clip there from Kathleen Vinaut about this proposed bill to change the way that frack sand mining is legislated in Wisconsin, the way that it's regulated, and moving it from this kind of a patchwork approach now. Counties and towns are able to regulate it, and in turn, this would move it to state regulation, one policy for the whole state. And Senator Tiffany, one of his concerns and one of the reasons that he put forth this bill is that he feels that right now towns can unfairly discriminate against the mines. What is his argument further in there?
The fact that there's a sort of regulatory uncertainty for the sand mining industry in the state is a big argument for this legislation and sort of creating an overarching structure that would regulate how these mines behave in these communities, whether it's air and water standards or traffic rules.
Let's go back to the phones now. We've got Tim joining us from Rural Independence. Hi there, Tim.
Hi there. May I begin? Or
yes, sure. What do you think?
Well, I'm very much in agreement with Senator Vinaut. I live in Rural Independence, and I've been at the center of this controversy ever since it started. This legislation is an outrage. To say that it somehow will standardize regulations is ridiculous. It's obviously just an excuse. Strumplo County has been exploited by the sand lobby and by sand companies. The only voice that people have is through their local governments, through their township governments. And by curtailing or drastically undermining the strength of local governments, you essentially make us into a third world country. And one of the most frustrating things about this is the total indifference of the rest of the state to what's happening in West Central Wisconsin. We have been exploited. We are being exploited. Somehow, the Walker administration is trying to make its claim of job growth by strip mining West Central Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Tim. And Allison, what goes through your mind when you hear Tim?
I mean, I think that's a really interesting comment, particularly given one of the interviews that I did for this story. I spoke with Rick Stadelman, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Towns Association, and one of the points that he brought up was the potential for there to actually be backlash against these companies and I guess the industry as a whole, if people feel like they're losing the ability to, you know, to control what's happening in their communities. So I do think that that's, you know, an interesting point.
And furthermore, there are questions of, you know, whether the state and the DNR can actually handle, you know, this sort of increase in responsibility. And Kathleen Vinehout, you told me that this bill is coming at a time when the DNR is, quote, woefully understaffed. She's repeatedly tried to get more money to fund positions with the DNR to regulate the frac sand mining industry in the state. So she questions whether the DNR can even handle the increase in responsibility.
Now, this bill has just been introduced. We've seen some legislation moving pretty quickly.
It hasn't been formally introduced.
It hasn't been formally
yet.
Introduced.
It's still circulating and looking for co-sponsors, but it's expected to be introduced next week.
So it's brand new. What do you expect to be the trajectory of it and the time frame?
It's hard to speculate on that. Tiffany said he did not feel like it was being fast-tracked, even though, you know, we just saw it pop up on Wednesday and we're seeing a Senate hearing on Thursday. I can't speculate on what will happen. Vinehout was concerned that it would come up quickly. And so she feels like people need to mobilize and fight it.
We can close with one more very quick call. Jeannie joins us in Trempealeau. Hi, Jeannie. You've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, thanks. I have the distinct honor of living in Trempealeau County, which I believe is one of the most beautiful counties in the western region, and we also have the most frac sand mines in the state of Wisconsin. And people from the southern part of the state need to come up here and see what a frac sand mine is. It's not a gravel pit. They can be up to 700 acres with a wash dry plant that works 24/7 with trucks hauling on your road. A truck can go past your house every 60 seconds. There's road damage. They don't even know for sure what sorts of harmful effect. We know that silica sand is a carcinogen. And I also couldn't have said anything better than the previous caller. We have worked so hard to put in regulations and control over this industry that has invaded our territory.
And Jeannie, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there so I can say goodbye to our guests, but I thank you for joining our conversation today. And Tegan and Allison, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, and thanks to the callers who called in and voiced their opinions.
We've been talking to Tegan Wendland and Allison Durr of the Center for Investigative Journalism. I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll discuss the demise of the highway map and whether we should miss it. This is Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Veronica Rickert here with Jennifer Dargan, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time to support the programs that you rely on, programs like Central Time. A contribution of any amount will accomplish that goal. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are looking for 29 pledges in the next 29 minutes. Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get the whole enchilada. You get the news of the day. You also get topics like logging in northern Wisconsin, ethical parenting, bee colony collapse, Italian cooking. The list just goes on and on. Central Time is your go-to place for an informative and interesting afternoon.
Your financial support makes these hours possible. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding here at WPR. Make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to WPR in your budget, think about becoming a sustaining member. You'll make automatic, affordable monthly contributions from your credit card or your bank account, and before you know it, it will just be done and you won't have to think about it anymore.
A lot of people contribute $15 a month and some give $100. The amount is totally up to you. And as a sustainer, you'll be an ongoing member of WPR. You'll help power Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute right now and become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
This is Ira Glass of PRI's This American Life. And over the last decade in this country, we've seen a real divide between what goes on at regular radio stations and here on public radio. Regular radio gets more homogenized every year. The same few formats everywhere, not a lot of personality. There are a couple good shows here and there, but by and large, it's pretty repetitive. Meanwhile, public radio just gets bigger and bigger. It's sort of corny, but I think that that's because what happens here every day, among other things, just has more heart. Even on our worst day, on our worst show, you can tell that we are here for idealistic reasons. We want news that's more in-depth. We want real analysis of what's going on around us. We want to know about new music that's not being played elsewhere, new writers we might like. And there's still the idea here every day that part of our job is to invent something new right here on the radio. It's a public space, a public square. And it's funded by public support. That's people like you and me who believe in this kind of thing. We pitch in together. We hope you can help out.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to help out and do your part to support Wisconsin Public Radio during this fall membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickert with Jennifer Dargan, and we're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to chip in and help pay for this program and pay for this whole service of Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen. You're listening now during the pledge drive. You are a diehard listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's all of us just face up to that. And that means you should also be a supporter. You can do your part at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members, a choir of 50,000 who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution of any amount is pooled with other member donations to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
We use the money to bring you great programs every day. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're considering giving but are paralyzed wondering, but how much should I give? You know what? That is up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs. Programs that'll keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your pledge of any amount. Just take a look at your budget. Take a look maybe at how much you listen and try to make a pledge that matches that if you can. And then give. That's the whole formula. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And be sure you know that when you do that, you're playing an essential part in funding the programs that you count on every day.
Remember when I said we had 29 pledges to go? We still have 29 pledges to go. Help us get unstuck. We have about 20 minutes to meet this goal. Your support makes a difference at WPR. It makes all these great programs possible. Be part of making it happen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Trying to reach our next guest, by the way. We're going to talk about maps. We'll see if that happens. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. In the meantime, we're going to have a little call-in segment. We want to know, what are you doing on this great fall weekend in Wisconsin? How are you appreciating this state we live in? We talk a lot about Wisconsin on this show. Make your call. Make a call now. Well, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Send an email, talk@WPR.org, or post on the Central Time Facebook page, and we can share that on the air. What are you up to this weekend? What are the things in fall that make Wisconsin an awesome place to live? Strike that. We have a guest now. But so make a pledge instead. You have the phone in your hand. Now call 888-202-2552. Make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio there or at WPR.org. Give us a couple more reasons to pledge, then we'll bring our guest on to talk about the decline of the map.
Now, how about pledging? Because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you're listening now, and you count on Wisconsin Public Radio to bring you the news of the world, to bring it right into your house, into your family, to your brain, so you can start thinking about it and making sense of it all. That's something National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio do exceptionally well. We bring you the world so that you can think about it, digest it, and become a better citizen. And you can support that service at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make that pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. You count on us for great programming. We count on you to help pay for it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. All right, be honest. Have you gotten lost driving somewhere lately? If so, chances are you got out the GPS on your phone or punched your destination into Google Maps, didn't bother digging out the old trusty roadmap.
Well, our next guest says that the chances are the paper highway map is on the road to becoming obsolete. It hasn't outlived its usefulness to us as a nation just yet, though.
Joining us now is Michael Brick. He's an author, a reporter. His piece, The American Highway Map is Dead, Long Live the American Highway Map, is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Do I get to say hello, Wisconsin?
Please do.
Hello, Wisconsin.
All right. Well, you conducted a little informal poll about the status of the highway map at all 50 states, or you tried for 50 states. Well, can you tell us the responses you got?
Half a dozen or so came back, most citing the GPS, the device that you just mentioned, as contributing to the decline in demand and the subsequent decline in the print run of those.
So the states are
highway maps.
The states are printing the highway maps, but people aren't asking for them as much anymore.
That's what they're finding at state fairs and the places that they usually try and give these things out or push them on people. So I mean, the highway maps have long been kind of a covert method of marketing tourism for each of the 50 states and all of the companies that have an interest in promoting at least the road version of tourism. They were made by gas companies and oil companies for many years before the states started getting into the game themselves.
Are we losing something by not having those maps on hand to plan our trips?
You know, that's a fascinating topic. And I think that you can't just limit it to talking about maps, because this device that I'm using to talk to you on here, the telephone, in the course of our lifetime, has gone from the idea that you could at least count on that you would have a clear signal to talk on, a book in which you could look up the phone number to call anybody whose number you didn't know, and that's all vanished pretty quickly. And I think that the roadmaps and their replacement by GPS raise similar and interesting in different ways type of questions. I mean, one of the big things that comes up in the folks that I talked to about roadmaps was that GPS can get you from one place to another, but it can't give you the ability to step back and plot it out yourself.
Right, I've seen that argument made. I think I talked to Simon Garfield, who wrote a book a year or two back about maps, and he said, if all you've got are the instructions, great, you follow it step by step, and if all goes well, you get where you're going, but you don't have a sense of the context anymore. You don't have a sense of where you fit in on the greater scheme of things. Do you feel that way?
I feel disoriented every day for that reason and plenty of others.
So at its peak, how big a deal was the highway map?
I think these things were a big part of promoting not just tourism from trying to pull you to go to, you know, the Grand Canyon instead of some other tourist destination, but also just trying to get you to go out and kind of see the American road. There was this kind of glorious post-war era of seeing America first that the map came to represent.
And did it really rise with the growth of the highway system, the interstate highway system, I should say?
They fed one another, yeah. But I think the development of the interstate highway system was, strangely enough, one of the things that made us start needing the maps less and less. The interstate highways are so well marked, and they're a grid that's so easily navigable almost without this. I I live in Austin, Texas. I could probably get in my car and go out to I-35 down the street from here and find my way to L.A. or even Green Bay without much difficulty, just from driving on the roads and looking at the signs.
You know, maybe I'm old-fashioned. I do have a smartphone, and I've recently learned to embrace the map function on there, but if I'm going on a road trip, I feel really unprepared if I don't have the state map of wherever I'm going to in the glove compartment, even if I never pull it out. It's like a paper security blanket, kind of.
A first aid kit, all the things that you feel like you need to have with you in the car. And I think that's what we're talking about a little bit when we get into talking about how quickly technological change has moved from has taken us away from the tactile familiarities of what starts to feel like a world that's disappeared just within our lifetime. It's bewildering.
Maps can be a little bewildering too, though. I mean, it's an acquired skill that I'm glad I got. But do you think people are getting it now if they're not using an old-fashioned map and just following step-by-step Google Map instructions or whatever instruction software online that they use?
Like learning how to do your math and show your work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the counter argument is it even necessary? And I think that it feels like we must be, because of the pace of technological change, it almost feels like it must be that we are the first to ever live through a period of technological change so rapid that we haven't had time to think about what we're losing along the way. And you know, we do talk a lot about what we're losing along the way. I wonder, what I would like to see a historian go do is take a look at all of the technologies that were upended and discarded, say, 80 or 100 years ago, and give us a sense of how much people lamented their passing and wondered, you know, what bedrock principles were being lost.
That'd be interesting. You know, the telegraph. The telegraph's going away. Nobody uses the telegraph anymore. Think about I wonder if people were having this conversation back then. You're right.
What if you get lost at sea?
If you don't know your semaphore,
exactly.
Right, how are you going to communicate with another ship?
That's right. Yeah. It's bizarre.
So looking ahead, do you still keep the map in your glove compartment or the triptych? Do you still use those?
I haven't used a triptych. That's my parents' generation. I do keep paper maps in my car of Texas and a road atlas of the United States and a map of my city. But then again, you know, you mentioned your smartphone. I actually have the flip. I'm the last guy with the flip phone that I can just call 911 on.
All right. Well, fun talking about maps, Michael. I'm going to keep mine in my car. I don't know about you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
That's Michael Brick. You can find his piece, The American Highway Map is Dead. Long live the American Highway Map, linked on the Central Time Facebook page. And while you're there, let us know, do you keep those maps around or do you just rely on the map on your smartphone? That's Central Time on WPR on Facebook.
And this is Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert with Rob Ferret. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. The drive is your chance to show your support for all the programs you listen to throughout the year on Wisconsin Public Radio. What you have to do, though, is choose to take that important step and donate to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And I'd just like to take a second to point out there are but 7 minutes left for you to pledge during Central Time this week and during this pledge drive.
That's right. We are done with our weekday part of the pledge drive today. Last chance to pledge during Central Time. Let's have a big finish. So show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio during Central Time with a pledge right now. Help pay for the programs you count on all year long. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, make that pledge right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
All you have to do is choose to take a few minutes right now to make this hour and many more hours possible on Wisconsin Public Radio. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you have a cable subscription, how much do you pay for that? Could be anywhere from $30 to over $100 a month. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
You get those things on the station as well. And in fact, the quality of what you get on WPR is really unmatched. The quality is only possible, though, because of your support. Become a sustaining member with a gift of $100 a month and keep the station going strong. Sign up now and make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge drives are a time to celebrate the quality of programs you get all day, every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. You listen because you enjoy the programs. Now we're asking you to back that feeling up with your financial support.
Listeners provide the single largest piece of the budget. The biggest piece of that pie of our whole budget comes from listeners. That's pretty extraordinary. People choose to support it voluntarily. The programs that you enjoy every day wouldn't be possible without that piece of the budget pie. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of. Get started today with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I like Wisconsin Public Radio because the programming is excellent. I feel like being a listener and a contributor that it helps me be a little more in control of what's over the airwaves. Wisconsin Public Radio is important because all of us as a community are contributing and helping to make sure that we get balanced coverage on news and also a very positive listening environment. I find humor and I love the political discussion that covers both sides of the issues, and I think that's really important. I'm Amy Kocha from Green Bay, and I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here with Rob Ferret, and we're asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month or anything above, below, or in between, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Maybe you listen to WPR in school as a kid or in the car with your parents, or maybe you found us on your own. Either way, I'm guessing you want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
If you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first contribution of maybe $5 a month. That's a good entry-level pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy. It doesn't take long to do. And all you have to do is go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And you're going to feel great about supporting the station that you rely on.
Maybe you're saying to yourself, I'll pledge tomorrow, the next time, whatever. Well, this is it. Today's your last chance to pledge your support for this show during this membership drive.
Don't delay any longer. Join the community of people who come together to pitch in and make radio worthwhile and make sure that it's there every single day for people to enjoy and listen to and get a lot out of. You're part of that community. Now become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Chad from Madison Pledge says, I'm new to the area. I love the programming at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you so much, Chad. Glad you discovered us. Stick around. Sue from Madison pledged, I'm donating, she says, because I'm obsessed with WPR. Listen every single day. Thank you for the wonderful programming. Sue, Chad, thank you both. Now, how about you? How much do you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio? Do you count on us each and every day? Well, put a price tag on that. Make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we can sweeten the deal a little for you. You can get our new travel mug when you choose to give $15 a month or more. It says listener powered, which is perfectly true. That's absolutely true. And it also has a WPR logo on it. So you can feel proud when you're drinking your morning coffee out of that travel mug. It's available at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And remember, that travel mug can be yours as our thank you gift when you give $15 a month or more.
It's an extra little thank you. The most important reason to pledge, though, is because you like what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you want to be a part of the future of Wisconsin Public Radio. You keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. You keep it strong. You keep these conversations coming to you each and every day with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It takes everyone to pitch in, and we're talking about you. When we join together, we can do great things and we can make great radio, but let's all of us pull together. Everyone needs to do their part, and that means supporting Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's logical, it makes sense, and it's also just the right thing to do. So make that pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Feel good about it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're hoping you've liked Central Time in the few months we've been on. Now we need your support to keep it going with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get out there, make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.